Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Fran Ginsberg, and Tom and Melissa right now are not with us. They're on a cross-country tour. Hope they're doing well. So we'll be riding solo tonight on The Gathering.
Duo.
And we'll be, actually what we're doing is we're continuing a, this is part two of our precognitive dream survey. As we mentioned when was the last show we did? About a month ago, or was it 2 months ago?
Well, we skipped the last month. We had to go to a pre-record because unusual weather and storms in the area knocked us off the air.
I know, and for a minute, we thought that nobody wanted us to do this topic because the first time we did this topic,
we were in a violent...
Right. I don't even know...
But we made our way back.
Yeah. So, you know, we did a survey on precognitive dreams, and we had about 400 responses, and many people actually took the time to write in about their precognitive dreams. So we're going to read those, and feel free, if you didn't get a chance to do the survey, give us a call at 1-888-627-6008 if you want to share a precognitive dream that you have of any type or would like to join in the discussion. So do you want to start with some announcements before we get going?
Yeah, and I think the biggest announcement we have is that this show is sponsored by Starseed Gems, and they are also the proud sponsors of Forever Family Foundation's November Mediumship Convention, Mediums Behind the Scenes. And you could visit Starseed Gems at starseedgems.com. We also want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website frequently, all the latest events and happenings. They change as we are able to post them, so there's no regular time schedule to them. Let me share with you what's coming up free this month in October. On October 13th, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that's from 11 until noon Pacific Time and everything in between, our online group, the Visionary Explorers Group, meets. And also on October 13th, from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, in real life, the Afterlife Discussion Group meets at the West Dade Regional Library in Miami, Florida. You can also reserve your spot now at our annual Winter Grief Retreat in warm and sunny Fort Myers, Florida. That's coming up on January 4th through 6th. 2019 at the super early bird rates that will end on November 4th. So hurry up, make your reservations. These weekends fill up early, and the super early bird rates are a special feature for our members to secure a spot at below cost to attend. All the details and registration links are up on our website. Don't miss out. Our next webinar is Mediums Behind the Scenes with Forever Family Foundation Certified Mediums Janet Nohavik, Gina Simone, and Doreen Malloy. It is set for Wednesday, October 24th at 9 p.m. Eastern. It is $6 for members, $20 for non-members. You may have seen the hashtag FFF Certified Medium videos on YouTube or Facebook, or you are following them on any of our social media outlets. If not, check them out on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. And don't forget to attend the webinar where they will be able to answer your questions live. We are also hosting a special webinar only for medical and mental health professionals on October 29th from 9 to 10:30 p.m. You must be a medical or mental health professional to attend. It is called Assessing and Addressing Beliefs in the Afterlife, Competencies and Ethics, and is presented by Beth Christofferson. Our biennial mediumship convention weekend in Fort Myers, Florida is coming up soon, this November 9th through 10th. Mediums Behind the Scenes. The event features frequent spirit communication, small teaching workshops, and group presentations, and everything is designed to facilitate connections, foster your own communications with spirit, and learn what happens after death. The hotel room block ends on October 8th. We also have planned a lot of fun things for the weekend, and unlike those pick-and-choose conventions, our unusual simple pricing includes both the Friday night and Saturday night banquets, each complete with entertainment and spirit communication, not to mention our much-wanted psychic goodie bags. So get online and reserve your spot. I think we have a special code that we're going to reveal later in the show. So listen up, and we'll give you a code where you can save $75 off your reservation to the mediumship convention this November. And one last thing, following November comes December with two noted events. On December 15th, we will have our Holidays Past Long Island event, a night of spirit communication with certified mediums Gina Simone and Lynn LeClaire. And on December 23rd, we will draw five winners who will each win a reading with a Forever Family Foundation certified medium in our annual Holidays Past raffle. That's only $5 to enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and Great Not-for-Profits. And back to you, Bob.
Okay. Still some time left for the show. we're talking about precognitive dreams, and we should start, what is a precognitive dream, and why are we interested in them? Some people may not use the term precognitive dream. I've heard people refer to them as come true dreams, dreams that come true. So basically we're talking about getting information while you're in a dream state that you really couldn't possibly have known, and then that information that you receive turns out to be true. So that's how we're defining a precognitive dream. So, and why are we interested in them? Well, if, people may ask that because, our interest is in survival of consciousness or, the afterlife and what happens after death. But it's all related because if we believe that the prevailing materialistic view that we are our brains and our brains create our reality and electrochemical processes take place in our organ in the brain, and that what is produces consciousness, how does that explain being able to receive information from other sources, other brains, other people, whether they're living or whether they're physically, dead. So the materialistic view cannot explain that. It should not be able to happen, and yet it does. So let's go to a few of these accounts that people have written in about precognitive experiences. Here's one that said, in November of 2008, my mother died. Later that year, right after Christmas, I had a dream that I swear was her way of sending a message. In the dream, my father and siblings were talking about our Christmas gifts, specifically about the Goslings. And she says, I had no idea what a Gosling meant. During the dream, I was told that I would have a baby that would arrive at the end of summer. I remember waking confused, but wrote down the details of the dream because some of the little details were so precise, and I had a feeling of love that I couldn't explain. Well, in late January of 2009, I found out we were having a child, and the due date August 31st. That's certainly the end of summer. He was our Gosling that my mom was trying to make me aware of. And she goes on to say that he became the link between the past and our hope for the future. She said, God sent him to us to heal after losing my mother. I like to think she had time with him prior to being born, telling him secrets and stories. Perhaps that is why he still says he knows her when he sees her picture.
Wow.
So, you know, that's pretty interesting. And it raises the possibility that our loved ones in spirit can communicate with a fetus, right? In this case, maybe she was communicating while she was, you know, the baby was still in the womb.
Or before the baby was.
Or the baby, you know, on a soul level.
Yeah, it has to be on a soul level, yes. Because all the communication, in my perspective, is on a soul level. Why do you have to introduce any physicality to it? The physical body is just a vehicle to carry the soul in this physical world where everything has to be touched and felt and be of substance. It just makes sense to me.
Right. And not every one of these precognitive, you know, dreams have to be something that we will consider to be spiritual. You know, it's just the way it is. So here's one, and she writes in, I dreamt of a three-digit number, and it came out the next day in the lottery, pick three.
Did she buy the lottery?
She didn't say, you know, but, you know, so sometimes you get information that's just information. You're picking it up from a collective, you know, consciousness, and sometimes you pay attention to those things, and sometimes you don't.
Well, I know that sometimes people mention that they were compelled to do something, or they were compelled to buy something that didn't make sense to them at the time, but they knew that they had to do it. And then later on, it plays out to be a significant thing or a significant act that they took place in. So could that not be the same thing as this precognition? Maybe these precognition dreams are messages being sent to the person while they're, of course, in their dream state, which is the easiest time to communicate with them. Yet these other people who are not in their dream state are suddenly compelled to do something, say something, or act in a certain way. Are they not also receiving some sort of guidance from another?
Well, there's a lot of ways to look at it. Sometimes people, you might have a precognitive dream, and then maybe you don't necessarily remember it, you know, and then somewhere down the road, something happens and it comes back to you, and then you call that a deja vu, you know. So maybe you really did see the future, but now you're remembering the future as a deja vu. But
to me, a deja vu is more like something that's happening a step before you take that step.
Well, let's go. We have to go to our first break. So there's a lot more to talk about. We'll be reading your precognitive dreams. Stay with us, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.kamlak.com, that's KAMLAK.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering. We're talking about precognitive dreams. The number here is 1-888-627-6008 if you'd like to share a precognitive experience with us. Let's go to some more accounts. This person writes, I was an Air Force police officer, and I had a dream that I was working the base entry gate on night shift, and a car pulled up to the gate, and the driver stabbed me in the chest with a big hunting knife. I woke up from the dream due to feeling the knife go into me. It was felt very real, and that night, going to work, I shared this with a coworker. He said he would check on me that night. I was working the gate, and it was after 3 a.m. in the morning. My coworker checked on me and asked if the knife man showed up. And I said no. He got out to have a cup of coffee with me at the gate. Drinking our coffee, a car pulled up slowly and was acting suspicious. I approached the car with caution and saw the driver lean to the passenger seat to reach for something. It ended up being a large hunting knife. I stopped and drew my weapon, and my friend ran from the gate and assisted me. I believe the dream was a warning, and it saved my life that night.
Certainly sounds like it. Wow.
Sometimes we're not quite sure.
That's scary.
But we pay attention to these warning dreams, and sometimes...
He could have just woken up and said, you know what, bad nightmare, and not mentioned it to anybody.
Right. There's some value in sharing. That's what we always say.
We say that all the time. Talk about it.
Yeah. Next account, I thought this is interesting because we ask the mediums often, you know, if they communicate through symbols, if the discarnate shows them symbols and that's how they interpret. This person says, my prophetic dreams come in the form of certain symbols. In every case, specific events occur after the dream. One example is a dream where my teeth or tooth fall out, upon which there is a death in the family. Another example is the recurrence of water dreams. If I dream about rough water or muddy water, there are always problems or difficulty coming my way within a few days. And then calm, clear, blue water lets me know that the next few weeks will be stress-free. She said, during the Iran hostage crisis in 1979-80, there was an aborted rescue attempt involving a number of military helicopters.
I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. That morning, I turned on the TV, and there was a news bulletin about the failed attempt. I was shocked since the night before I had an odd dream about strange-looking helicopters circling around and round. The dream made no sense until I saw on TV that the strange helicopters in my dream were actually military helicopters and foretold the aborted mission. It's interesting for people that have these experiences is that it must really be somewhat of a, it's not a shock because you dreamed it, but it still must be a shock when, you know, you say, oh my God, it actually came true and I saw it happen. You know, people must wonder, how is this possible?
But think of the number of people who have been taught and learned the lesson that it's not possible. And so they just file it away instead of sharing it with other people. And if you share it with other people, and I know we say this all the time, that other person's going to have a story too.
Right.
They may not want to share it with you at that moment, but at some point, they're going to have either another experience or they're going to feel like they can share their experience with somebody else. And if we could get everybody talking about these things, it won't be so unusual anymore. And we'll all, as a conscious group of people on the earth, be able to develop this and move forward with it and probably do some really good to the collective consciousness.
Yeah, and when we're talking about things like this, there's always the question, and I know there's the question that comes up in the mediumship world, and it's similar here, is if you have a... let's say you have a warning, you know, dream about somebody else, you know, do you bring that up, you know, to the other person? There's one school of thought that says, well, by bringing it up, that you're actually bringing it into fruition.
Making it happen,
you know. On the other hand, you know, people may also be afraid of what the other person might say, you know, again, you know, saying that they're nuts. Or they're,
you know. Even if they could find a workaround warning. You know,
right.
Like if it involves a car accident, you know, how about taking the bus today?
Yeah, unlike mediums explain, because we ask them what happens when you are told about a dire circumstance, you know, and they have ways of
working it in.
Yeah,
I think also this person who writes about the symbols, I think that's kind of interesting because mediums usually set up symbols with their guides so that if they're presented with a yellow rose, it means it's going to be somebody's birthday. If they're presented with a four-leaf clover, it means that there's a religious holiday coming up. They have these set symbols. This person seems that it's not a set symbol that he or she has set up, but that it coincidentally, every time that vision occurs within a dream, the result is always the same. And I know I personally had a situation where if a particular person, and I never set this up, it just seemed to start suddenly happening. If a particular person showed up in my dream, a particular living person showed up in my dream, that next day, somebody I knew would die. And it became frightful when I would wake up in the morning and that person would have been in my dream. So I totally understand the symbolic thing, and I think we all have to become aware of that because those are our guides and our people on the other side who have our backs trying to guide us through this physical world. So it's important.
Next account, I was ill with a high fever as a child. My mom told me I was mumbling about a fire and to bring the fire trucks over here. And she said I was giving directions and was really concerned about this big fire, me being out of it and this in my sleep. Yes, of course, my own body was hot and having fever from chickenpox, but about a week or so later and not far from our home, some boys were smoking in a barn on a fairgrounds and caught the hay on fire. I believe it caught many buildings on fire and also a skating rink. My mom said, D, that's your big fire. You predicted that. another account. Some dreams are noticeably higher resolution detail than others, but few of those types were later experienced or remembered and realized as deja vu. One dream was before we moved far away to a place I'd never seen or heard much of in detail. At the time of the dream, my parents were there making arrangements and visiting Dad's new office acquaintances at their homes. I remember the dream the next day because it was odd to me that I'd see a room, furniture, wall, decorations, people that I'd never seen anything similar to before. The dream vision was going down the stairs to a small den with wood grain paneling, a big old round Coke sign, TV under it on a stand, the couch on the right, the chairs on the left, and within weeks we moved. We went for dinner one evening to visit there to this fellow office worker of Dad's. They gave me and my sister our kids' plates to go down to the den with, and that was it. Went up and told Mom. She said, that's weird, that maybe I imagined it or it was an exact match to the dream, but may have been just a something tricking my brain. So I'm just a bit, you know, confused about, you know, what it was. But I certainly have been in situations myself that I've gone into and could swear that I've been there before, but I can't put my finger on it. Now, maybe that's because I had a dream of it that I didn't remember, or, you know, if you want to call it deja vu, I don't know, has that ever happened to you?
I recall looking at a home, actually, several times. And the first time I went to this house to consider purchasing it, I knew I had been there before. I knew my way around the house. And I then asked the broker where the basement was because I couldn't find my way to the basement, to which the broker told me there was no basement to the house. And the next time I decided to go back to this house again a few months later because I was still interested in it, and it was being listed by a different broker, and I walked into the house. And again, after the tour of the house, asked the broker how to get to the basement and was told once again there was no basement in the house. The third time, I went back to this house insisting that there was a basement, and I did, in fact, find the basement to the house, which surprised yet the third broker on this house. So there was a basement. I don't know why I was so insistent on finding it. I did not buy the house, but I thought that was interesting. I had at some time, not in that lifetime, been in that house, or maybe through remote viewing or a dream, or somehow I had been in that house, but definitely had been in this basement and knew that it had a basement, which the listing broker didn't seem to know.
Yeah, so if I didn't know you, I mean, the skeptical side of me would say, well, wait a second, are you... You have an architectural background, so you would have reasoned out that there should be a basement there based on the layout of the house. But you did tell me that it came to you in dreams, so you know, I don't question that at all. Person writes in a dream, her mom was in the car with the stepfather. The car did a spin, and when the car stopped, my mom was not in the car. She passed a few months later of cancer at age 63 years old. So I guess you would call that some sort of a prophetic dream, you know, by the fact that the mother all instantly disappeared from her vision in the dream. Meant
right, so she's there and then she's not there. And then suddenly she dies unexpectedly.
Right.
So, yeah, that definitely is a prophetic dream. But that's one of those dreams that takes a lot of interpretation. And so we have to ask, how come some people get them so clearly as to what the message in the dream is or what the outcome of the dream is? And here's one that actually takes interpretation to make sense out of.
There's a similar one to this that I just saw. Person writes that I saw my dead friend who was very sad. He was at the cemetery, lots of graves around. He pointed to one of the graves. He was almost crying. And within 4 hours, my husband passed away.
Oh.
Pretty profound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's the same word. I think it almost lets the person know there is an afterlife. You know, like, we've got him. He's here. I'm letting you know ahead of time so that, not that you'll be okay with it, but that you know that if you get signs, he's still around and you've got more than one reference point to assure you of that.
Yeah. I don't know if I read this one before, but it's kind of humorous.
Oh, so you're
I kept dreaming that my husband was cheating on me.
Yes.
The dreams were very vivid and specific. I believe my father in spirit was giving me the information that I couldn't possibly have known. That's how I ended up catching my now ex-husband with his side piece, as she puts it.
Again, you know, I'm sure we're laughing now. I'm sure it was a very serious situation for her to deal with at the time. Right. But isn't that wonderful that you have people on the other side that have your back?
My husband and I ran a Gibson discount store. The next morning, I told the workers outside the store that I had dreamed about one of the workers' husband the night before. He was in a mental hospital in Louisiana where we were. I dreamed that he escaped and came back home to the town we lived in. Later, I went to the bank, and when I got back, his wife, who was one of the workers, was gone. I asked where she was. The police had come to get her. Her husband had escaped, and when they asked him why he left, he said, "I just wanted to see my family." That was exactly what I told them he said. So that's pretty specific, you know. So an interesting account. Here, my dream actually came to me two nights in a row.
The same dream.
You know, the main theme was that a major event was about to happen, and although I knew it was coming, I wasn't properly prepared for it. After awakening, I feared my dream was about a looming health event for someone in my family that I was confident would go well, yet now my dream made me feel I wasn't properly prepared for the outcome. Later that afternoon, after having the dream for the second time, I was visiting with a friend who was planning a highly anticipated party. As I overheard my friend on the phone with her caterer, I realized she was saying the exact words I had heard in my dream. It suddenly became quite clear to me that my dream was not about my own family member, but instead it was about her party. So many of the details and words being said were exactly what I had dreamt. One part of the dream still didn't make sense, yet while attending the actual party, that detail occurred at that moment. So, sometimes we do have dreams for others, you know, I mean, or about others. It's not always about our own inner circle or our own family or our own friends. It may be, you know, we're having these precognitive moments of where we're going to be. Maybe she was in this future place the next day and overheard that conversation. And then, assuming there's no real linear definition or a distinction between past, present, and future, it just gets all mixed up. So, I mean, it's not the first time we've heard of accounts like that for others. Let's see. About 20 years ago, I was a single mom living on the edge of a forest. In my dream, I am preparing for the evening. I note the English windows drawn closed, and as I lock the windows, I realize that there is a vampire in the night who tries to enter during late hours. I'm having guests one evening. The windows are tightly locked, curtains drawn. We are safe. But in the night, the bat flies towards the window. He steps through our barrier with ease, and my efforts could not stop him. As he lands on his feet, he becomes a man dressed in formal attire. He's not here to harm anyone, though he has the power to enter my world at will. It became clear that he would not harm us, as he is a gentleman. Soon after, I met my husband-to-be, a physician who draws blood, works all hours of the night, and for a time our courtship took place between the hours of 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. when he would go back to his clinical setting.
So another one that takes a bit of interpretation.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I thought it was interesting, you know, she's dreaming about a vampire, and then she meets her husband who draws blood. You know, there's that theme, you know. this was
she talks about a dream in which a large round saucer thing with several chaise lounge type seats arranged around the center was on the bottom of the ocean. When I woke, I had no idea what it meant, but later, I don't recall now if it was a matter of days or weeks, when the Challenger went down on January 26 or so in 1986, it was clear that that was what was being precognitively revealed. I later heard that there was an entire Jungian enclave up in the northeast of people who had precognitions of this event. So I concluded that we all tapped into the collective unconscious as they understand that. So that also, we know there is a collective unconscious. You know, we know that from things like the Global Consciousness Project. So we tap in maybe not only to one individual event or one individual's consciousness, but masses of people on the whole. You know, we pick up these things from. So we have many more to get to. We're going to go to our second break, so stay with us, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering. I know earlier friend mentioned a secret code.
Secret code.
Worth $75 to the medium.
Yeah. So listen up. We've got your secret code. And what you're going to do is, if you're interested in learning about and possibly attending our November mediumship convention, it's not just for mediums, it's for anybody who wants readings, who wants to learn about mediumship, who wants to learn about the afterlife. It's November 9th through 11th. It's in Fort Myers, Florida. If you're interested in this, go to our website, go to the events page, and click on the event for November. You'll see it, you'll learn about it, and then you can click on the registration page and type in the secret code into the promo code box, Gathering 75. That's Gathering 75, and if you decide to attend, you will see $75 deducted from your registration fee. And that's our secret code for tonight.
Okay.
Back to you, Bob.
It's like the old Groucho Marx show, you know, say the secret word.
Gathering 75.
Okay, so let's go back to our accounts that you have written in. Let's see. You know, a lot of people have these precognitive dreams about their own health. In this case, person writes that I dreamed that my deceased son told me to go see a doctor because I had cancer. I had no symptoms, but yes, I did have an aggressive form of cancer. So, another one, as a child in elementary school, I had dreamed that my gym teacher had a broken arm. Later that day, we had gym class, and upon entering the class, there was my gym teacher with his arm in a cast.
Cool.
Also, many years later, I had a dream that my customer had called the shop that I worked at, canceling her appointment. Being the first person in the shop, I saw we had messages and played it back. It was that very customer canceling her appointment, word for word, that I had dreamt. Sometimes these things are not meant to be earth-shattering. You know, they just, you're just catching little glimpses.
But even the little glimpses, if you take them seriously, and they're not necessarily serious events. When the universe throws something big at you, you have a better toolbox with which to make your way through it. And I think that that's the most important thing about these precognitive dreams. They're reinforcing the fact that there is a larger thing going on in the universe from which we can glean guidance. We just have to be open to it, and it doesn't necessarily have to come through the dreams. If you can train yourself to accept guidance from what spiritually is called your inner self.
The next one, the dream I treasure. My husband passed in December 2004. He loved to gamble, so we were always broke. Our wedding bands were in the pawn shop. I would say about 35 of the 36 years we were married, the wedding bands were in the pawn shop. In February 2005, I dreamt I was going to the mall to meet a female friend for lunch. I don't know who she was to this day. When I approached the escalator to go down, a man moved aside to let me on.
I turned to thank him, and it was my husband in his favorite khaki slacks and blue shirt. He didn't talk. He just held up his left hand and showed me he was wearing his ring. I had gotten them out of the pawn shop. The funeral director asked me if I wanted it back, and I said no. I wanted it to go with him. In the dream, my friend said it was just wishful thinking, and I said, no, turn around. And she saw him standing, holding his left hand up with the ring on. I never remember my dreams, but this one I remember in detail. I had dreamed that my youngest son was struck by a car ever since he was a baby. When he was 8 years old, he was, in fact, struck by a car and later died while at the babysitter's home. I've heard things like this before where people have these recurring, horrible, you know, dreams that last for years and years, and then they eventually, you know, come true. Why do you think that the dreams last so long, and why do they start so early, and why, you know, it's hard to...
That just remains a mystery. I mean, I have a recurring dream. I don't know why it just goes on and on and on. It's not like it's anything she could have done anything about in this particular case. She wasn't there. You know, I'm sure, like any other parent who loses a child, though, she blames herself. Well, the, you know, woulda, shoulda, couldas, that I could have prevented it.
Well, maybe not, because it goes on. It's 3 years later, I had a dream that my oldest son was in a car accident with his father. I saw the location as if I were outside myself seeing it. I woke myself up crying and saying, no, not both my boys, please not both of them. Within 2 weeks of that dream, my oldest son was, in fact, killed in a car accident.
Oh, my goodness.
However, he was not with his father, but with his uncle, who looks identical to the father. But she goes on, and she says, I believe that my boys and I had a soul contract to be there for each other for these life occurrences to happen for our growth on a soul level.
Mm-hmm.
The dreams, I feel, were a way for my soul to prepare for what was to take place. I hope that makes sense. My boys died 3 years apart in the month of April. So there is somebody that, you know, I hope is on the road to healing, because she has this inner knowledge that this was, you know, a contract that was fulfilled and that she was being prepared for.
Right, and it's interesting because it does show you that there's something bigger. It does show you that it's preparing you for it. As human beings, though, we can accept that or we can fight it. And I think it's very healthy that she's probably done a lot of reading and research and soul searching that brought her to this place that, of course, helps her heal through the grief. You know, when we're in this physical world, we are constantly being dealt challenges. These are really heavy duty, hard to accept challenges. This isn't something like, you know, falling down and losing a front tooth. This is the death of somebody that you love deeply, and it really shakes your world. It really messes it up. And to be able to find your way through to a spiritual explanation and a pathway is a wonderful thing, and I'm glad that she found that way.
Person writes in, this was a dream in which I could fly. My actual body, was flying over and down the road that I lived on as a child. I was really close to the earth, maybe 30 feet up from the ground. As I looked down, I saw numerous dead bodies, hundreds of them. The bodies were lying on top of each other, besides each other, sideways and in various positions. I could see the colors of their clothing as well as skin color. Some were black-skinned, others white. The bodies were bloated in horrible condition. When I awoke, I immediately recalled my dream, and I felt so bad. However, I did not think that what I had seen was going to come true. I chalked it up as a nightmare. The next day, I walked into my then-boyfriend's parents' house just as a special news report appeared on the TV. As soon as I saw the Jonestown Massacre footage, I knew I had dreamed the same scene one day before. That's graphically, you know, descriptive, but interesting nonetheless, you know, because that's not something that you would you just can make up or see. I mean, it's...
No, and so descriptive of something that even if you didn't know afterwards what it was, you could never imagine why would this vision come to me. And yet afterwards seeing the TV report, then, you know, that puzzle piece comes together. It must have shaken this person to the core.
Right. Or not, you know, maybe the person's used to it, you know, but some people just assimilate that into their lives.
Well, if they have a lot of precognitive dreams, I imagine that they would, but this one is pretty horrifying.
I know. Another one said she had a dramatic dream 2 days before the 2004 tsunami. I dreamt I was riding my bike with a friend in Thailand through walls of water.
Wow.
So,
again, that's symbolic, because she obviously wasn't riding her bike through walls of water, and yet it took place, and she instantaneously knew that it was connected to that dream.
Right. In my dream, I was standing on a small dock at a lake holding a male child who was about 7 to 8 months old. Nothing significant except that I was pregnant with my first child at the time, but did not know the sex of the child. This was in 1971. In the early fall of 1972, my husband and I and my extended family went on vacation to a lake area in Kentucky, where I found myself holding my 8-month-old son in my arms as I stood on that same dock looking out at the exact scenery I had seen in my dream. The only difference from the dream was that my son looked quite different from the boy in the dream.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. But here again, so if it's conveyed by her son, let's say, in spirit before he incarnates, just throwing this out there as a concept, we know that when people in spirit make themselves appear in vision to a medium doing a reading, that the description of the person or the person that they're seeing does not necessarily match exactly the person who, how they were when they passed. Very often the mediums convey that they will present themselves the way they want to be seen. Usually if they died of an illness that was debilitating, they will present themselves as 30 years old and healthy. So by the same token, this baby, not really knowing what he was going to look like, decided, well, let me just portray myself in your arms, because I know all the other part of the story. You're going to be standing at this lake, right? I just don't know what I'm going to look like yet.
Right. I guess we have time for one more. My husband and I were leaving for a weekend away. My two toddler children were going to stay with my husband's parents. I awoke the morning we were leaving from a dream. I was looking at a white piece of paper and a typewriter with a light shining on it, and it was dark around the edges. The feeling was like an old black and white film. I was watching words being typed out and listening to the sound of the typewriter keys. The words were, "The pool is not safe." When we dropped the kids off, I told my mother-in-law of the dream, and she said, "Oh, dear, the pool cover is broken and the gate doesn't latch." I had her tie the gate shut, which she did. Unbeknownst to me at the time, my father died that day. He was a World War II vet. I used to listen to him typing when I was little. I have often thought it was a warning from him.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Ooh. I agree.
Just paying attention to the keys and the sound and was watching.
Right. Yeah. Let me get this message to you.
Yeah, pretty extraordinary.
Children. Wonderful story.
Well, that's all we have time for tonight, but why don't you close it out for us?
Sure. We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Robin Murray, Fred Folger, Donna Mello, and Isabel Ginsberg. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Right, everybody.